Hiding our problems brings attention to them. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with a thought for today. Hiding our problems brings attention to them. So often we want to sweep the dirt under the rug. We want to ignore things that are a challenge to us. We want to ignore things that bring us the least little bit of unhappiness or the least little bit of misunderstanding, and we want to keep everything status quo. We want to keep everything in balance and keep everything peaceful and harmonious. Well, that's a good idea. But hiding our problems brings attention to them. A lot of people pretend that they're not sick. They pretend that they're not having problems in the world. They pretend that they're getting along just fine with their friends. They pretend that they have a happy life. And you say, well, Dr. Barley, you tell us that that's what we should do. We should live in a pretend world. And I say, no, I don't. I do not tell anyone to live in a pretend world. I said, act as though it were so, and it will be, and this is not pretending. Pretending is acting as though something will be that is not. Pretending is acting as though something is that you don't believe. Pretending is believing in something you don't believe in, and that's not really believing in it, because you know you don't believe in it. Now that sounds a lot of gobbledygook, doesn't it? But that's the truth. You see, a little child who believes he's going to have a horse, he doesn't pretend he's going to have a horse. He believes it with all his heart and soul and being. It is part of his nature, it's part of his life, it's part of his world. Now, you go down to apply for a new job, and you walk into the personnel department, and you talk to them about who you are. And they say, well, what sort of things can you do? What are your abilities? What are your preferences? What are your talents? What are your areas of genius? And so, proudly you present to them your areas of genius. Now, oftentimes, as you do this, you pad it a little bit. You tell that you sometimes are a little better than you are. And in telling that you're a little better than you are, you're lying. Now, you see, when you lie, the personnel person knows that you're lying, you know that you're lying, and you doubt that you'll be able to do the job once you get it, if you get it, on a lie. Now, if you truly believe you can do something, if you truly believe that you have the talent that you can do whatever it is you say you can do, that's not lying. That's believing in yourself. But if you say something that wishful thinking, you wish that you had the talent to do something, you wish you had the experience and the opportunity to do it, that's lying. You see, this is a very subtle area here that we're dealing with, and it is something that can be very destructive to us or something that can be very beneficial to us. When you say, I am whole and perfect, and you are speaking about the divinity within you, when you say, I am whole and perfect, and you are speaking about your divine reality, when you're saying, I return to my original purity and integrity, and you're returning to your original purity and integrity because this is the reality of who you are, then, indeed, that is the reality of who you are. However, if you just sort of wishfully think that that's who you are, if you wishfully think that this is your original purity and integrity, if you wishfully would like it to be that, but you know darn well that it's not that, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because whenever we wishfully think for something that we are not, we are putting a cause in motion that opens up all sorts of Pandora's box activities for us, because we'll be found out and it'll be revealed to whomever it is that we're trying to impress to say that we can do something that we can't. Now, The little train going up over the top of the mountain saying, I think you can, I think you can, I think you can, it believed in itself, and it put itself over the mountain. Now, we, when we say, I'm whole and perfect, can we say, I am whole and perfect over the top of the mountain and down the other side into our wholeness and perfection that we always were? Can we keep on keeping on going over the top of the mountain? Can we keep on keeping on saying, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, regardless of the appearances, regardless of all of the evidence that is pointing against our wholeness and our perfection? Can we stand there and do it? I've had the experience many times in hospitals with people who said, oh, I didn't know it was okay for me to live. The doctor told me I was going to die. Oh, I didn't know it was okay for me to get well. The doctor told me that this is the result of that type of living. He didn't say that if I changed my living, I would change my beingness, I'd change my health. Well, doctors do say that often, but they say it more subtly because they don't want to get their neck in a bind. Because if a doctor says to you, now, you can be whole and perfect if you will just change your attitude about yourself. Well, now, we hear the doctor said, you can be whole and perfect. Now, we didn't really hear if you change the attitude about yourself. And that's why doctors write prescriptions. They want to get it all down there on black and white so that they are known for what they have told you and what they have advised you. But I'm amused at our medicine profession this day. Doctors say very little to you about what it is the medicine does and how the medicine works. They tell you to go and talk to the pharmacist. They tell you to read the printed instructions on the medicine given out by the pharmaceutical companies. They tell you to go and check somewhere else. Now, you see, if they were to tell you what the pharmaceutical companies write in their medical sheet and you didn't remember it, then you would say that they gave it to you incorrectly. Whereas in truth, they didn't give it to you incorrectly. You didn't listen, or you didn't hear it, or you only heard what you wanted to hear. Hiding our problems only brings attention to them. Our problem is that we are half here, half there. We are not totally giving ourselves to whatever it is that we're doing. And because of that, problems rear their lovely heads. And as these problems rear their lovely heads, the problems say, ha 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 ha, see if you can find the solution. Ha 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 ha, I've hidden the solution in the most obvious place, but just see if you can find it. And that's the way problems talk to us. And we just want to hide that problem under the rug. We want to pretend it's not even there. Instead of letting that problem say, hey, it's time for you to make some changes. Time for you to reconsider what you're doing. Time for you to look at your life a little more seriously. And problems say that. That's right. They bring to our attention that it's up to us to start putting new causes in motion. Now, obviously, if you hit your hand with a hammer, if you hit your finger with a hammer, and it hurts, and you say, oh, that hurts, and you hit it again, and that hurts, that hit it again, that hurts, and then you say to yourself, what am I doing here? What am I doing? And then you wake up, and you see you are actually hitting yourself with a hammer, and you say, that's the stupidest thing I could ever do. And you take that hammer, and you throw it away, or you put it away, or you set it aside. You take it away from that naughty hand that's hitting the other hand with the hammer. And you say, don't do that. Don't do that, naughty hand. And don't do that, naughty hammer. Don't do that. You see, the condition that expiates the problem, we want to say, don't do it to it. Whereas it's our own thought. Hey, I like me. I like me. I'm whole and perfect. I am going to do everything that I can to be whole and perfect, to be wonderful, to be fantastic, to express my own magnificence. I'm not going to hide these problems that and put them away. Hiding problems only brings attention to them. It only brings attention to something that you're not doing right, something I'm not doing right. Something which needs attention, which needs my awareness, which needs me to say, hey, this is something that needs to be done right now. And then I wake up. Then I wake up. But in the waking up, do I really wake up? Do I really wake up to the realization that there's something I can do about it? Do I really wake up to the realization that, hey, I can do something about that finger that hurts so badly that I have been pounding with a hammer? Now, you say, my goodness, that finger must really hurt. And you say, my finger is whole and perfect. So, you put that cause in motion. And every energy, every ounce of your body, every vital organ of your body pours out its juice to bring about the wholeness and perfection of that finger that you have been pounding with a hammer. And rather than hiding it in a bandage and saying, oh dear, you stick that finger right out in front of yourself and you say, you're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. My finger is whole and perfect. My finger is fantastic. Don't hide it. Don't run away from it. Don't say, oh, I better put some ointment on it, something on it that will keep me from knowing that it hurts so much, a painkiller or something. No. Immediately say, you're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. You're whole and perfect. Immediately shout that out. Sing that out. Know that out. Don't hide it. Don't hide it. Shout it right out there in the open. And say, I'm whole and perfect. And as you do that, that finger manifests its original purity and integrity. That finger reveals its divinity. It's you that does the healing inside. There's nothing outside of you that's going to do any healing to your finger that you've been hitting with the hammer. But it's you inside that's going to send out those juices of wholeness and perfection. The juices that are going to wash away all of that pain and all of that misery and all of that dumbness that we have done to our finger by hitting it with a hammer. And then it grows back into its perfection. But it cannot grow back into something that it is not already. It is already perfect. It is already divine. It is already beautiful. It is just us, me, I, that is putting this cause in motion to stop it in the first place, and in the second place, return it to its original purity and integrity. Now, if it were its original purity and integrity, it could never have been hurt. Now, why did it get hurt? How could it get hurt if it was its original purity and integrity? Well, it got hurt because we created the illusion of it being hurt. We created the illusion of it being not perfect. And until we create the illusion of it being perfect, returning it to its original purity and integrity, until we create that illusion, rather than hiding from the problem, then it will come. But only until we create the illusion that it is whole and perfect. We're living in quite a fascinating world, a world in which we're in charge. And hiding our problems only brings attention to them. So what we want to do is be like that little train. I know I can, right over the top of the mountain. Successfully, wonderfully, powerfully done. And this is where you stand. And this is where I stand. And this is where we all stand. We are the master of our life. We are the master of our world. We are the master of our circumstances. And life is great and very great. So, hang in there and enjoy what life brings to you as your own creation, as your own divinity, as your own wonderment, because you're beautiful. And I say that to myself. I'm beautiful because I love me. I love me. I love me. And I love you. I love you. I love you.